This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So what are they waiting to blow up?
Yeah.
What are you aiming?
Yeah, we're a little way off. We've got probably a two-hour rig to do some explosions in the stadium. It should be a lot of fun for us and the crowd.
Yeah. So tell us about that setup out there. There's this kind of raised patch with the...
Yeah, I can't really get into specifics of storylines for obvious reasons. Otherwise, I'll be shot.
The specifics of the practicalities.
There's a scene later where, you know, there's a bit of a football game going on, and for whatever reason, there's this fairly sizable explosion. Mm. The raised platform is a technical part of. It's there for a technical reason,
right?
Nothing more.
Right. Okay. So it's not like part of the ground's coming out.
No.
Okay. No. How does that work then? Why does it need to be like that?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I don't know how much you can answer, but you told me before I asked you about
Bill. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there another vehicle that you would like to create besides the Batpod and of course the Tumbler? And you said that you wouldn't tell me what it was, but you had an idea. And I'm not going to ask you what it was. I know how Chris is, but. Did you get to create that vehicle?
Not the one, no. But we have another stunning vehicle.
Okay.
I mean, are you breaking new ground in technology? I mean, with the Batpod, you did. I mean, that was just a new way of technology, a new way of a vehicle of motion. I mean, did you find yourself breaking new ground again in technology with this one?
The vehicle we've got in this one, we are trying to do some extraordinary things, which... probably normally would be done a lot more with CGI. Chris being Chris, he wants to try and do everything he possibly can for real. So the new vehicle, we will be doing some groundbreaking stuff. Is probably not a great phrase, but some exciting, different effects.
Have you filmed with it yet?
Pardon?
Have you filmed with it yet?
No.
Can you at least say if, because we've seen photos of the Tumblers being back, and we seen them in sort of their original desert camouflage color. I mean, what...
We have, I mean, you probably don't notice, but we've got three different versions of the Tumbler. Each one of them is different, which will become apparent as I'm sure you've already seen the one on the steps. With its funky little cannon on the top. There's another one which has a different device on it. Sorry, what was your question again?
Well, basically, I know you said that you can't really talk about the specifics of the new vehicle, but I'm assuming that means you didn't design a new Batmobile. We're going to still have the Tumbler.
You've still got the Tumblers. You've still got the Batpod, and multiples, obviously multiple Tumblers on this one. Which is quite interesting. It's quite great to see them. The other day we did a shot with three of them trundling down the road, and the growl of those engines, it certainly gets your adrenaline going a little bit. But the new vehicle is going to be, it's going to be really good.
So these Tumblers are new. They weren't used in the previous film.
They're the same Tumblers which we've modified and adapted, and Chris has changed the look of some of them. He changed the armaments on some of them, and you know, they're all part of a very exciting action sequence and the climax of the film.
And Dirk, you did some pretty amazing things, including clipping a semi-truck. But, I mean, has anything been thrown at you yet that you still haven't figured out how exactly to do yet for this?
Yeah, quite a few, actually.
Isn't that business as usual with Chris?
Yes, it is. It's, as I've said before, it's we start filming and then really the film starts developing. And all the way through, Chris and I will be throwing ideas at each other. So probably some of the final ideas haven't even come to fruition yet. We're batting ideas around. You know, we've got the end. I've never actually, looking at the schedule, I've never actually had a schedule that has been so crammed full of special effects. We've shot England. There's some exciting aerial stuff in England. And once we got to Pittsburgh, every single day there is something big going on, and it's quite relentless right the way through to November.
Is it like doing a Bond film?
Similar.
Okay.
Similar, yeah. They're both demanding. You know, Chris is incredibly demanding.
It seems like you're shooting more daytime scenes, or at least, you know, in some of the pictures we saw, of course, today. Does that provide more challenges going into a shoot like
that? Not really. I mean, I'm a great fan of working days. I'm not nocturnal personally, and I was really pleased to see that Batman actually got out during the day. And it to me, it actually adds a great look. You know, seeing Batman out in the daylight, it's a whole different look. You know, there are scenes at night, but you know, I think the end sequence is all Batman during the day, and it adds a whole new element to it.
Emma mentioned that the third film takes place mostly in the winter, and the one thing we didn't really get a chance to ask her, is there a lot of fake snow? Is it snow in Gotham City at all?
Yes, there is, yeah. Yeah, it's lots and lots and lots of it.
have you shot scenes with snow?
We shot some scenes at the Carnegie Mellon Institute the other day, where we put a lot of falling snow in the air, but dressed snow around the set, and there that was sort of a lightweight dusting of it. Later on, we do some fairly extensive snow sequences where we snow it up a lot more, specifically in Pittsburgh. It's quite tricky, you know, 100 degrees or something. You're trying to, you know, I feel sorry for the poor actors who've got these great big coats on, and it's they're sweltering. But you know, we have to use every cheat in the book. You know, we'd be putting steam outlets on the streets, you know, to give that cold feel, and I'm sure Wally Pfister will play around the lighting, you know, to make it look that cold light. It's all part of the job, really.
You're not going to give Batman skates like he had in Batman and Robin.
Oh, no.
Like
no.
Skating around.
No, skis, bat skis. Yeah. No, I'm joking.
How much pre-production time do you typically get on a movie? How much did you get on this one? And what was the most challenging pre-production aspect of this film?
I started this in January. I first had a meeting with Chris in November at his house, and we roughly talked through the script, and then, you know, he gave me Christmas to think it over. And then I started in January, so we went through the whole script process, going to recce the locations. We started shooting in England in, I think it was mid-May. So that's the sort of time scale from me starting with a pencil and a pad, and five months.
What was the most challenging aspect of this film's pre-production?
I think getting all our heads around the fact that we've got to top Dark Knight, and getting all the creative juices, you know, flowing to format this film. So I hope, you know, we've got a great film for everybody to see, and they won't be disappointed. There was a lot of very, very intense meetings going on about storyline, what we could do, how we could change it, how we could change things and change effects, you know, do bigger effects. You know, it was a very, very intense period, and generally shorter than what we're used to. You know, like Batman Begins, when we were building the tumblers, I think we had a sort of 8 months when we were building the tumblers. Probably the Batpod was a bit shorter, 7 months. You know, Chris is very, very into his machines. You know, he knows every single bit of them. He's designed it, you know, with the Batpod and the Batmobile. He gave us a little model this big, and what we've built is almost identical to their little plastic model. So every step of the way, whether it be the size of the tyres, the colour of the black, you know, the black. I never knew there were so many shades of black. You know, the Batmobile was like four different shades. And I mean, to me, they all look black, but he saw some difference in them. He's very meticulous in every single vehicle, gadget, you know, costume. He's very, very intimate with that.
Are there any aspects of this job that were refined on the previous films that are easier this time around, or is it all just really difficult?
No, if Chris knew it was going to be easier for you, he'd change it to make it harder again. he hates the thought of somebody having an easy ride. He's forever throwing curveballs. You know, we went to the Carnegie Mellon the other day, and you know, originally it was going to be a bit of a punch up on the steps, and before we knew it, we were at tumblers driving up the sets. We were doing explosions. You know, that's typically him. He thinks on the hoof. You turn up, he's got a plan, and then he'll call me over and say, "Do you think we could do a couple of explosions up there?" I was like, "Oh no." First, let me go and check with the owners of the building. and that's the process. You know, he's always thinking all the time. He goes in there with like a basic plan, but then the plan starts evolving and becoming much, much bigger.
In the comics, he's very larger than life and all that. Clearly, you know, Tom Hardy is, you know, a regular sized guy. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be any sort of augmentation of his size or height or anything?
I'm not really party to that. You know, Chris shoots these things, and when these sequences, and when you sort of see the final in the film, and he always does something to them. I've heard no conversations about any, you know, changes of things like that, but who knows? That's when he gets in the editing suite, then it all starts happening again.
Do you have a couple of are there some showstoppers in this film, like the truck scene or like the hospital scene?
There's a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, are you seeing one of them today? Is this one of them?
No, this is every day. This is everyday occurrence.
Is there
this
one particular you're looking forward to, not specifically?
Yeah, there's two actually I'm looking forward to.
Have you shot them yet?
No, we haven't. And I don't know how I'm going to do them yet, so I can't even tell you.
Are you filming these in Pittsburgh, these particular shots?
One of them in Pittsburgh, and the other one will be in Los Angeles.
So when you say you don't know how you're going to do them, what's your process in figuring out how you're going to do them?
A lot of, with a film of this intensity, special effects wise, you know, at the moment my focus is on Pittsburgh and getting everything done in Pittsburgh. When we get to start getting, you know, I've obviously got guys thinking about it and we're throwing ideas around, but we haven't, a couple of things, we haven't settled on the definite methodology we're going to use. You know, I don't like to just rush into something. I like to keep thinking it, milling it over, talking to Chris about it, and then, you know, 2 months before we shoot it, you know, I'll lock into how we're going to do it, you know, with Chris's agreement and with my, you know, my input, and then I get the team working on it, and then we move forward with it. You know, Chris is a great one, as I said before, of thinking it over and changing, tweaking things. So I don't want, generally, I don't go straight into building something and then he changes it. I want to allow him time for it to develop and then build something that I know is 90% right.
There's one guy who likes to, he's a hands-on guy, but nowadays you have CGI comes more and more, and when do you guys decide, well, let's do practical this time, and let's do CGI?
If Chris would always prefer to do it practically, that's his mantra. I mean, then you get into logistics. You know, there are things that I can't do for money reasons, safety reasons, budget reasons. You know, there are things that I physically can't do. So that's when the CGI, you know, thing comes in. You know, but he will always try and get us to provide elements for the CGI people to use. So it's not totally creating computer, but it's a mixture of what we've done, enhanced, maybe put into the scene. He's a firm believer in doing things for real. He believes he gets better performances from his actors and thespians, you know, if there's something going on. That's the way he's always been, and he seems to be sticking by it.
But he seems to be known as a very strong character, very physical. Is there anything that you're doing practically, like breakaways or something, that show us, that will show the audience how strong
There are certain things during the film where, you know, he's not a superhero,
right,
but he's very, very strong. There are certain parts of the film where this strength is shown in particular ways.
You mentioned multiple tumblers and stuff like that. You know, the first Batman had the great chase across the rooftops, and then there was the armored car sequence.
Yep.
Is there a car chase sequence in this movie that's going to be even more sort of involved and destructive?
Yes, is the answer. Yes.
And how much of Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is going to heavily feature in that over the next few weeks.
Is there a lot of vertical stuff? I mean, I'm thinking Catwoman is a burglar or a cat burglar originally. So is there a lot of high up?
We're
vertical action scene, if you like.
We're shooting in New York for a reason.
Okay, good.
That gives you a clue.
Yeah, good, excellent.
So yes, there is some. You know, Chris likes his height. He likes to see big cities. You know, he likes to show Gotham in its entirety. Hmm. So yes, there was some very high shots.
How's it been transitioning to Pittsburgh and Chicago? You did two movies in Chicago, and I was curious about how Pittsburgh has been as far as doing some of the stuff you do here, which you did over there.
I think there's a lot of similarities between Chicago and Pittsburgh. The people are really, really friendly. They make our life a lot easier. They've been very accommodating. You know, I don't know how I'd react to somebody throwing a load of fake snow all over my windowsills and doorstep, but they've been very accommodating, just like the people of Chicago were. And it's a very film-friendly city, I must say.
Do you think architecture fits within the whole mythology?
Within the storyline, it does. Yeah.
Taking a break and doing Inception in between the two films, help spur anything creatively? Do you think it like helped, you know, give, re-energize the juices to come back and make a film like this?
Definitely, yeah. I think I would have struggled to go from Dark Knight straight into this. It was very refreshing to do Inception, you know, because it was such an original story, and he wrote a great story and that gave me a lot of scope to, you know, show my craft off for what it was. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a great time on it.
Will you be working on the next Bond film?
Quite possibly.
And on that note...